upper room experience was the start of the church. This is where the church started. Now, the Holy Spirit spoke to me about something. And before I get to the scripture, I want to release this to you. Peter denied Jesus three times. Three times he said, I don't know you, I don't know you, I don't know you. And Jesus came back and he asked him three times, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Stop. Just period. Point. Full stop. Feed my sheep. Not feed your sheep. Feed my sheep. Again, do you really love me? Lord, you know I love you. Tend my sheep. Come on, not tend your sheep. Tend my sheep. Third time. Do you really love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. You know I love you. Feed my sheep. And so three times Peter denied Jesus. Jesus asked him three times, do you really love me? And what the Lord spoke to me, he says, if you look at the church, this is the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right? We all know that the New Jerusalem forms part, but we as a church, we are the bride of Jesus Christ. This is the wife of Jesus Christ. You don't touch another man's wife. All right, let's try this side. You don't touch another man's wife. If you touch the bride of Jesus in an unlawful manner, he will deal with you. Because it's his sheep. Okay, am I speaking to somebody? It's his sheep. It's his church. It's his bride. And we need now, like never before, get to a place of unity. Because I want to say this, and I want you to you can mark the very second I'm telling you this. There's a guy in America, his name is... how can I forget his name, man? He's my friend, and I forget his name. Jonathan Shuttlesworth. Jonathan Shuttlesworth knew about nothing that I'm telling you now. I was in prayer. God said to me, get ready, for revival will be birthed. It will continue. I'll add to the church daily. This is what the Lord said to me. He said, but you're going to have to guide, and you're going to have to guard against division. Jonathan Shuttlesworth the other day sent me a message. He says, listen, I just want to tell you what God is telling me. He says, God says, you are doing good. And he's saying that revival is coming. Meetings will carry on for days. And you will add to the church daily. Exactly as the Lord spoke to me. And then God gave me scriptures. Last night I was in prayer in early hours of the morning. The Lord revealed something to me. And I want you to get ready, all right? I want you to get your heart ready. And I want you to turn to the book of 1 Kings 18. And I'm just going to read verse 38. It says, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust. And it licked it up and the water that was in the trench. Now when the people saw it, they fell on their faces. And they said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Now, I want to explain to you what happened there. The Bible says that Elijah came to the prophets of Baal and he mocked them because they were a lot. They reckoned between 350 and 450 prophets that tried to mock our God. Now our God shall not be mocked. Our God is a God of power. Come on, He's the God of the living. Amen? And He's the God. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, our God answers with fire. He answers with fire. Fire is a sign of power. But fire is also a sign of enemies, because the enemy hates when you carry the power of God. He hates it. I said he hates it. I was speaking to a guy that he was high up in witchcraft and also in Satanism. And he says that his only thing that they are doing, they try to bring division. And once there's division, there can't be power. He says because the first church started with unity. And that was the model of God to pour out His power. And the minute the vision starts, He says, any church that starts with the vision, you can leave that church is running to a dead end. Oh, it's quiet now, you have to help me preach this morning. The devil is afraid of the fire of God. He's afraid of the power of God. Our God is a consuming fire. And the Bible says He makes His ministers a flame of what? A fire. Now His ministers, and I'm going to get there. I said He makes His ministers what? A flame of fire. So I'm going to teach them right now. But if you look at the scripture, he said to the Baal prophets, we'll see whose God is alive. He said, we will call on our gods, and the God that answers with fire, we will serve Him. And the prophets of Baal, they called upon their gods the whole day. Nothing happened. The only thing that happened was Elijah mocked them. He came to them and said, listen, maybe your God is asleep. Maybe He's on holiday, because surely He's not listening. Amen. And the word says that he took his sacrifice and he says, bring me water. And he poured out water on these sacrifices. They made it wet. This was a wet sacrifice. And then he started calling upon the name of the Lord. And the word of God says, fire came down and consumed this whole sacrifice. It even licked up the water. I said, it even licked up the water. Now Jesus comes and he says to his disciples that you will, not many days from now, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He prophesied it before. He says, John has come to baptize you with water, but I will come to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Come on, I'm not speaking to somebody. I need to get it clear to you. He said, I will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I'll give you power. Power, power that this world cannot give you. Power, what power? If you think about this, if you name the name of Jesus in any situation, it's the power of attorney that Jesus gives you to act in his place. So he says, I will give you power of all the powers of the darkness. Come on, I'll give you that power. All right, then Jesus said to his disciples, and this is the secret, and I want you to pay close attention. If your ears is closed, maybe you must first come and let me open it up for you. Because this is what Jesus said. He said, tarry in Jerusalem until you have been endued with power. The word tarry means you have to press in, stay a little bit longer. Don't just sing a licky, gee tiki, and slap a biki. That's not tarrying. Tarrying is you seeking. You press in the power of God. You press. When the others sleep, you seek. Come on, I'm talking about somebody that knows what it means to tarry. You tarry for that power because Jesus promised them, if you wait there, the power will come on you. You look at those disciples. They failed. They couldn't even cast out demon spirits. Tina's going to help me. We were in it was PE in Port Elizabeth. We saw that our woman was demon-possessed and she was crawling like a snake, sailing like a snake. And you need that power of the Holy Ghost. Come on. I said, you need the power of the Holy Ghost to drive out those demon spirits. And this is what Jesus said. He said, listen, you'll have power. Now, if Jesus tells me you're going to have power, I'll do anything that he says to get that power. If he says tarry, I want to tarry. If he says seek, I want to seek. And this is what Jesus said. He said, if those who seek shall find. I'm not seeing seekers anymore. He said, if you knock, it shall be opened. I don't see knockers anymore. He says, if you ask, you shall receive. I don't see askers anymore. I don't see people ask. I don't see people knock. And I don't see people seek. He said, you wait there, you'll get power. Now the Bible says that when Jesus went away, the angel spoke and he said, the same manner that Jesus went up, he'll come back again. So I'm telling you, he's coming back. He's coming back for a glorious church, a powerful church. And then if you have your Bibles, I want you to listen to this quickly. In the book of Acts 1, verse 12, in my Bible, it calls it the upper room prayer meeting. Oh, I love that. The upper room prayer meeting. The Bible says they came together in one accord. All right? Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire. And one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Now I want to stop there, and then I'm going to continue. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, the disciples, and there was just more than 12, there was 120 of them, that sat in a place called the upper room. And the word of God says that they were there in one accord. I want you to say this with me, one accord. One accord means in unity. Say this, unity. Say it again. One more time. In one mind. They had the same mind, the same purpose, the same plan. They didn't come together in a place and the one said, well, I'm going to be the chief. And the next one said, I'm going to be the Indian. And the other one says, that guy, I don't like that guy's face. No, what did they do? They came together as brethren and said, he promised us that we will receive power if we wait, if we tarry. But our God is not divided. Please understand me right now. Jesus said, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. Come on, can somebody help me out in this place this morning? A kingdom that's divided cannot stand. A body that's divided cannot function. He said, didn't say, well, get together and be divided. He said, if you're in unity, you wait on the power of God and it shall come. Amen. Because this is the thing that the church needs to understand. Acts is a model of how a church should function. If Acts or miracles, why is the church not seeing miracles today? Oh, help me out. Acts says they came together and they prayed and they prayed. Now, this is the reason why the church doesn't see miracles anymore. It's a prayerless church. Jesus said, pray lest you fall into temptation. So the church is busy going that direction while the Spirit of God is going that direction because we've become a prayerless generation. We've become a generation that's divided. And I promise you, when the devil can get, or not unity, disunity, he disrupts the whole move of God. Come on, I'm not speaking to somebody. God cannot bless a mess. Please hear me. He blesses where there's unity. Where there's unity, His grace falls. Where there's unity, His power falls. Come on, this is what the book of Acts says. There's power because they came together in one accord. Now, I believe with all my heart, when the power was poured out, the Bible says there was like a fire that sat upon each of them. They started speaking in tongues. And then the people criticized them. Amen? Alright? And they said they were drunk. And Peter rose up and he said, we are not drunk as you suppose. But what you're seeing now is what the prophet Joel prophesied. That in the last days God will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. This is what's happening right now. And Jesus said, if you go back to Scripture in the book of the Gospels, Jesus said to Peter, I'll call you. He was called Simon. He said, I'll call you Peter. On you I'll build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I'm here to give the devil a message. You will not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. You will not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. Come on, am I preaching to somebody? And power came. And this is the thing. Book of Acts chapter 2, chapter 4, chapter 9. You'll see there was an encounter. No man can be changed unless you have an encounter. No man can become powerful. You can sit in church Sunday after Sunday. No encounter, no glory. You need an encounter. You need an encounter. Come on. You have to open your mouth and say, Lord, I need an encounter. Come on, say this with me. I need an encounter. Now, I have seen this. Ek wil hê jy moet my hoor vandag. I have seen it. That the over what experienced it, experience supersedes anybody's opinion. It's easy to give an opinion about something. But if unless you have, unless jy daai ding yourself gesien het. Now I'm telling you, no man can be used unless you have received an encounter. And I'm getting somewhere. So now they were together in one accord. The power of God started falling. They were speaking in tongues. Those guys were so happy, so excited. And then the word of God says, all of a sudden, the same Peter that denied Jesus Christ started walking past the guy that was lame from birth. And he said to him, look at us boldly. Come on, this is now a guy that speaks boldly. He says, look at me. And now this guy thought he's going to get some money. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. Such as I have. I have seen many people try to give what they don't have. You can only give what you possess. You can only release what you have been fooled of. Come on. When you are full of the Holy Ghost, you can release it. And we need it. Because the other problem we are facing in our church is people are getting easily offended. A spiritful person is not offended. If you're offended, you don't do it enough. Jesus said, you want to follow me? Crucify yourself, then follow me. Crucifying means you're dying to yourself. If you get offended by truth, you're not dead to self. It means you're not spirit-filled. You're not living the life of the Spirit. Come on, am I speaking to you right now? So that power came and they were bold. They were bold. This guy that feared for his life and said, I don't know this man. All of a sudden, he was so bold, he was touched with such power that he raised this man. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you in the name of Jesus Christ. He didn't say in the name of Peter. He didn't say in the name of Paul. He didn't say in the name of Muhammad. He didn't say in the name of Buddha. He didn't say in the name of Allah. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and be healed. That's power of attorney. Jesus said, the same power, the same works that you see me do, I give unto you. I give you that authority. That means to act. in the place of Jesus Christ. He's seated in glory, but he has given the church the authority to release the heaven on earth. That's why he says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Come on. Read it. In Matthew 16 verse 19, Matthew 18 verse 18. Behold, I give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This is talking about the authority that Jesus Christ has given us as a church. But the church is powerless because the church is not caring anymore. The church is going through motions and politics. As mere politiek in die kerk as wat is in ons land. We don't need politics. We need to go back to basics. And the basics was you tarry until you get the power from God. And if the power doesn't come, you don't go. Now it's quiet. If the power doesn't come, you don't go. You wait until you have been changed. You wait until you have an encounter. The Bible says when they heard this man was healed, persecution came. Oh Lord, use me, but just don't send any persecution. The two walks hand in hand. If God uses you, people's going to hate you. They're going to persecute you. Come on, they thrown Peter in jail. They said to him, listen, you're not allowed to speak in this name again. You know what he said? He said, listen, I have to obey God rather than man. I want to tell you something. They say to Peter, we're going to throw you in jail. All right? If you continue using this name. And he said, listen, I have to be... I will go from as a God. Rather than man. Because when you become obedient to man, you are already in a jail. You put yourself in prison. Because now you limit yourself to what people say. He said, no ways. I'll obey God. Do whatever you need to do. I obey God. Hulle was geslaan. Dan sê die Bible, those guys were running down the streets of Jerusalem praising God. Because they have been found worthy to suffer for his name's sake. It's not like in today's time when somebody tells you nonsense about your beliefs and then you retaliate and say, oh no. We stand a bit terug and say, maybe I'm wrong. If God makes you bold, you step up in boldness. And those who leave you. You be bold. I said, you be bold in your stance. He said, I'm not going to, come on, whip me, do whatever you need to do. As long as he can be glorified. As long as he can get glorified. And then the Bible says the church now all of a sudden they came together and they sell off all their possessions. And do you know what they did? They divided among themselves. Because wherever he had a need, they supplied that need. Wherever he's got a need, they supply that need. Nobody was, and this is the thing where power comes. You have to lose interest in all the earthly possessions. You have to. If earthly possession still keeps you bound, get rid of it. Praat met iemand hier? This is what the book of Acts did. They wanted the power of God. This is what they wanted. And I believe with all my heart. Peter said to himself, all right, I'm going to need for the religious. I'll say more explain. Just think about what I'm saying now. Peter had to say, well, this TV, this television, it's binding me. Get rid of it. All right? Come on. My 30 houses, it's a problem. But Piet het nie 'n huis nie. Geef vir my huis. Because I have to get rid of all these things. Because I'm conscious about nothing except for Christ Jesus and Him crucified. So I'm getting rid of it all. And now, this is what the powerful thing was. Not once in Scripture, in the book of Acts, here, do they ask, so who's in charge? They didn't care about that. The only thing they wanted, power. Power. We want to do what he's doing. Come on. We want to release the kingdom on this earth as he was doing. I want to do the same thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Am I talking to you? Yes. Now, I believe with all my heart, that if you are on fire, like the guys in the upper room, you won't care. You don't care. You don't care if you clean the toilets, make the coffee, open the door, carry the dustbins. You're so on fire. While you putting out the dustbin, you tip hom so, the fire of God burns on the inside. While you scrubbing the floors, the fire is burning. While you have to preach, a fire is burning. Amen? You don't care what you have to do. We just want God. Because we don't want to touch His wife in an unlawful manner. We're going to have to give accountability for every single word that we have spoken or teached God's people. This is why I have to obey God rather than man. Amen? I've said it and I've seen it over and over and over. Seeker-sensitive churches, they're very sensitive to people, but not to the Holy Spirit. I've seen it. I just came from a church where the Holy Spirit is no longer there. He's no longer welcomed. No longer welcomed. I was standing, I was praying over, but the Holy Spirit said to me, "You do not pray for people." Because let me tell you, and I want you to listen to me, healing doesn't come to a person that sits like this. You will never see healing. You have to reach out. You have to touch Him by faith. If you say, "Well, the Heere genees," I was in a church now, I promise you. I called out all the deaf people, they lined up. There was a woman deaf for 73 years. The Lord opened the ears. Another guy who was born without ears open. There's a guy there. I said to him, "Do you believe Jesus can heal you?" Stand like this. I said, "I can pray for you. Get ready. Get your heart ready." "I'm not a healer. I can't do anything." You have to open your heart and release your faith in the healer. His name is Jesus. So I prayed. And I went back. I said, "Are you ready?" "Yes." Prayed for him. His ears opened up. I said, "Can you hear me?" "Yes, I can." I said, "Tell the church you can hear." You have to be desperate for God. People are not desperate anymore. Mensen is desperaat om aangezien te worden. Come on. Mensen is desperaat voor posities. But they're not desperate for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We need to get hungry. There must be a holy hunger on the inside of us. Then nothing else will matter. You will not take offense. Come on. Am I speaking to this church? You'll be so on fire that you will nothing else. You want the power of God. Come on. I can't explain this enough. It's time that the church see the explosion that the book of Acts or the church of Acts saw. The power of God, the glory of God. The Bible says even as the disciples spoke that the Holy Spirit fell upon them. And the people were baptized again. Daily they were added to the church. Daily they were added to the church. The Bible says they walked with miracles, signs and with wonders. The Word of God says they had a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Communion with the Holy Spirit. It means they were working together with the Holy Spirit. They were listening to the Holy Spirit. Like I said this morning, if the Holy Spirit says Facebook, you Facebook. You listen. You listen intensively to that voice of the Spirit of God. You do whatever He tells you to do. Come on. And then the Bible says there's a guy called Saul. Saul was a Christian persecutor. He persecuted the church. He hated the church. And the Bible says on his road to Damascus, he was walking and suddenly a light shone from heaven. And it blinded him. He fell on the ground. And the Bible says, Jesus spoke out of heaven. He said, "Saul, Saul." Saul said, "Who are you, Lord?" Thinking about somebody that persecutes the church. And a voice speaks out of heaven. And he knows exactly. He said, "Well, I word no mal me." He said, "Who are you, Lord?" And do you know what Jesus said? This is powerful. "It is I, Jesus, whom you persecute." Saul was killing the Christians. He was dragging them to prison. But Jesus said, "Listen, you are persecuting me. For those who persecute you, persecute him." This is what Jesus said to him. He said, "Why do you persecute me?" And he said, "I'm going to show you how much you're going to have to suffer for my name." And that word suffer, that moved my spirit. Because that means it's not going to be easy. You're going to have to go through hell and back. Going to have to suffer for my name's sake. In other words, the very things that you did to my people, they're going to do to you. You persecute them, you're going to be persecuted. Come on, help me out. You've hated my people, that you're going to be hated. You're going to have to suffer for my name's sake. And then the Bible says, from that day, the Lord changed his name from Saul to Paul. Now he was a murderer, a persecutor of the brethren, and suddenly he had an encounter. And everything was changed. It didn't take 3 years in Bible school. And I'm all for that. But hear me out. He didn't take 40 days of fasting. In an instant, everything was changed. Now let me tell you, if you are truly saved, do you know how you are truly, truly saved? That soul no longer lives. If soul was a persecutor, you're no longer a persecutor. You are free from everything the old man did. Because you can't be born again but still do what the old man did. No ways. Then you're playing church. I said, then you're playing church. Jesus said, I give before you life and death. Choose life so that you might live. Amen. So everything you do in life is a choice. Amen. You choose. Come on, I said, you choose. I said, you choose. This is what I said the other day here. I said last week, I said, with this flesh, you can't educate it. You can't sanctify it. You can only surrender it. And when you surrender it to the Holy Spirit, He makes all things new. Met die praat ek. He makes all things new. So it means instantly, you've lost an appetite for all the things of the world. You cannot change the world like becoming like this world. My son came to me and he showed me a video of a preacher that spoke about drugs and alcohol. And he said that this preacher said, well, I just want to assure you all that you're under grace. And as long as you stand in a mirror every day and say, well, I'm going to drink today, but I love Jesus, I'm a Christian, then it's no longer sin. Just as long as you stand in that mirror and you declare it, then all is fine. Don't tell me that man had an encounter. And then when I studied this, I saw his theology and all those things. He doesn't even believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't even believe in healing. Now, I understand completely. You cannot be immersed and filled with the Holy Ghost and still want to do earthly things. You're a liar. And when you're filled with the Holy Ghost and power, you don't want anything to do with this life. You want God. You want to tarry every single day in His presence. You want to do things that pleases Him. Now, I know the Bible says that nothing pleases Him except for our faith. But the Bible says the just must live by faith. Faith in who? Faith in Jesus Christ. But to have faith in Jesus Christ, you start to live like Him. You look like Him. You talk like Him. I promise you, when you have been filled and empowered with the Holy Ghost, you know what? Your talk, the way you talk, changes. People know immediately that you had an encounter. The way you walk changes. Come on, the way you think changes. The way you operate, the way you do business changes. Everything changes because you're now a new creation. The Holy Spirit touches you in power. Paul would have never been so powerful unless the Holy Spirit has touched him. Unless he had that encounter. And this is the biggest problem that we are facing today in our society, in our church world. There's no longer encounters. Do you know there's programs? But there's no encounter. I love it what Smith Wigglesworth said. He said, I'd rather have church for 50 that's on fire than 5,000 pew sitters. The young generation runs for the lights and the sound and the yellow. Instead of running where the Spirit of God is. Let's get this right. In the upper room, we'll see the power of God. We'll see revival, but we're going to do it right. I said, we're going to do it right. When I was praying, the Lord said to me, get rid of all church politics. It's not found in the book of Acts. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Who's in charge? Who's not in charge? I'm just a bond servant. I was climbing scaffolding last night. I didn't say, well, I'm the pastor. Actually, pop steward. Actually, a pop steward, and I get a poor muscles. I'm a bond servant. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, let it be done. Come on, let it be done. I don't care what it is. Let it be done. Because you have to understand, whether you mow the grass, bring the water, as long as you have the following in mind, I'm not doing this for man. I'm doing this for Jesus. Then you will have a reward. The minute you start why do I say this? Because I spoke to a preacher. Come on, I'm preaching this law. I've been having about like something like 15 messages, 15 services in 7 days. And I spoke to this guy and he said, you know what? We're standing here alone. Powerless. And he said to me, he said, you know what? I feel like Moses, that I just need my hands to be lifted up. He said, but I can't say anything because if I say anything, my people are offended. I said, that's a Jezebel spirit. You rebuke that spirit. You take charge over that spirit. You take charge over that spirit. Listen, the anointing is much more powerful than Jezebel. I love it. Book of Acts is full of it. They were persecuted, but those who came together in unity saw the power of God falling, wave after wave, glory after glory. And when we have this, if the Bible says, now many people say, well, that was for the book of Acts. Well, please show me in scripture then, where does the Bible say that God changes? The Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If they saw the power of God, we should see the power of God. If they saw miracles, we should see miracles. Am I speaking to somebody? Nobody needs to see you as long as God sees you. Why do I say this? Because this is what I'm seeing all over the world. I want this. I want the book of Acts to come alive. Amen? People that's got faith in their hearts and say, wow, this is what Jesus promised us. He promised that the Spirit will come and we will have power and we will be able to do the same things that He is doing. Amen? I think about 3 weeks ago, there was a satanic group that added us on that group. And they said, we are their threat. Was it a competition? And when I read, we are the competition, I started laughing. I said, competition? Devil is under my feet. He's a defeated foe. The kingdom of heaven is no, come on, over the kingdom of darkness is no competition for the kingdom of light. Come on, am I speaking to somebody? But as I saw that, the Lord spoke to me and He said, God against division. Because there's a guy that says, he was a high priest in Satanism. He says that the only thing they pray for is that there will be division among people, no unity. It says because they've seen the greatest unity forms the greatest power. This is what we need to do now. We need to come together in one accord with one mind. Not a different mind. Not wat gaan die Here my gee nie. Just I'm trusting His word. His word says tarry. You get the power. And my whole life I've tarried. And I promise you, sometimes I get sick of tarrying. Those who know me will know, I've spent my life on my knees seeking the power of God, my life. And as many times you come to places, they don't want you, they just want the gift. They want the gift of God, but they cannot look after the gift God has sent. Am I speaking to somebody? They just want, the healing power, and then they're gone, never see them again. It's like a quick fix. Ought not be that way. The gifts come from the Holy Spirit. And He's the most important person in my life. And He should be the most important person in your life. And yet again I say person, because that's what He is. He's a person. Amen. And I want to close with this. I can just think about that day in the upper room as they stood together. When we were in Israel, they took us to the upper room where the disciples waited. And then after years, they've turned that around in a mosque. So they've used the upper room as a mosque, a Muslim mosque. And now again, the Israelites took over the place again, so now it belongs to the Jews again. And I'm thinking to myself, those guys, what have they experienced in the upper room as they came together in unity? But I believe with all my heart that before there's an outpouring of the Spirit of God, the first thing that God shakes is your heart. The first thing He's going to work with is your character, to see if you are ready to receive that impartation. And this is why many people say, I want the power of God, but yet years pass, and they never receive that power, because the character is not right. And I believe with all my heart that prayer is much more important than power. If you can't pray, you can't walk in power. Am I speaking to you right now? You tell people pray, then there's the last thing on their minds, because that's work. But if we pray, we put a demand on heaven. Amen. Come on. And the disciples, they didn't share cake recipes. They didn't talk bad about anybody. They came together in unity. They didn't care less wie was se skoene gedra. Of wie was daar of wie was nie daar nie. Every man had the same mind. He promised that the power will be released upon those who wait. And I've seen it with my own personal life. The most difficult thing is the waiting part. We have to pray and wait, and you wait, and you wait, and you wait, and you wait. But if you wait, it's going to break open. Come, I believe with all my heart, this is now the time where we see the book of Acts coming alive again. And we see God's power. Come on, and we see God's glory move. Not on a Sunday, but every single day of our lives. You should walk in the street and people have to say, this man has been with Jesus. Come on, they have to look at your face and say, wow, she's been with Jesus. Come on, am I speaking to you? They shouldn't ask, well, are you really filled with the Holy Spirit? Your life should speak for itself that you have been filled with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I've seen this, that people, many people can speak in tongues, but they're powerless. They've got no power. I said, they've got no power. So we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit and with fire. We need that fire. Now that fire is that power that we wait on. The Bible says when the Holy Spirit was poured out, they started speaking in other tongues and on each of them sat tongues of fire. Tongues of fire. I love that tongues of fire. Why tongues of fire? Because now He uses our tongues as fire to release the kingdom of God in this earth. Amen? This is why He says what you bind shall be bound. I don't know about you. I've never been as hungry for God in my life. I can drive in the car and then somebody will mention a song and then I will have to tell them, stop. Because really, if you continue, I'm going to cry my eyes out. We were driving from PE, we needed to go to the church. And Charles was with us, and Tina's and Charles, and we were driving down the road and we started playing worship music. Big mistake. Biggest mistake. We've missed the off-ramp. We didn't even know where we were. We said to Charles, hey, you have to turn around. He said, why? Tears is falling down our cheeks. He's driving. He doesn't even know where he is. This is what the Lord said. Revival will fall on those who have a holy hunger. Not for anything else, but for God. And listen, this is a choice again, a decision. Don't tell your husband he's talking to you. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to every single individual right now. And you know what? You're sitting here, so you have to submit under my authority. And I have to submit under His authority. So whether you like it or not, you have to listen now. You have to listen now. It's a choice whether you want to see the power of God or not. If you want to live a Christian life that's dull and dead, that's a choice. That's a choice. Somebody spoke to me the other day about a church, regarding a church. And they said, I feel sad for those people that have to go there. I said, I do not. It's a choice. They decide to go to that dead church because they feel they need to. I don't want to go. I spoke to a guy the other day. He said, my church is dead, eh? I said, why are you still there? I don't want to offend any man. I said, you're offending the Holy Spirit. You're dying. You're stagneer geestelijk. But you're starving. You don't need men to offend me. I said, maybe I have to go back to the basics. Maybe I need to repent again because these guys were filled with power and boldness. They didn't care who they offended. They did what Christ wanted them to do. And this is again what we need to do. Jesus offended the people. He offended the Pharisees. He preached to 5,000. That was proof that he preached to 5,000. 5,000 got up and said, no ways. We want the smoke machines. His words is too hard for us. Hier die waarheid maak seer. You know, I want to go to the place where they speak to this nice ear. 12 stayed. And do you know what Jesus said? To the 12 of you, do you want to go? Please go. It's much better spending time with my Father than have people around me that doesn't want the power of God. And you know what Peter said? He said, Lord, where will we go? Where will we go? From you is words of life. And I've seen it, that those who handled to be rebuked walked with power. Come on, somebody. Pentecost should not just be a celebration once a year. It should be an everyday experience. When last did you had an encounter with God? When last? I'll never forget my encounters. Changed me forever. Forever. When people looked at you and they thought, ah, he's done and out. I loved it. God says it's not over until it's over. When the devil thought he's got you, Jesus said, I'm going to show you how much you're going to suffer for mine and I'm going to use you. He said, it's not over until it's over. Amen. Come on, somebody. It's not over until it's over. I don't even know why I said it. The Holy Spirit knows. I want to tell you, it's not over until God says it's over. It's not over until God says it's over. All right, maybe this side. I said, it's not over until God says it's over. It doesn't matter what the people's opinions over your life, over your family, it's not over until God says it's over. And I don't hear God says it's over. Come on, if you have breath in your lungs, you still got hope. You've got an opportunity to tap into the presence of God. I promise you, if you think that the power of God just comes into your life just by sitting like this, you're going to sit for another 100 years. You have to be hungry for God. My God, you have to be so desperate. I want to ask every single one in this place to ask the Holy Spirit to push that reset button. To reset this thing completely. Everything that you think that you know needs to be reset. And then we need to go back to basics. They came together in one accord, unity. One purpose in mind. Just the power of God. No politics. No politics. Nothing. Just getting together and having the same heart as Jesus Christ. Because listen, the guy next to you forms part of the wife of Jesus. And how you treat that person, you're going to have to be accountable for that one day. Can I say this again? You do not touch another man's wife. How do you touch the wife of Jesus Christ in an unlawful manner? Everything that you say to people of God. Now, and I want to say this free of charge this morning. Offense is not given, offense is taken. If you say, I'm not going.